Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Chaf Aleph. We are on Chaf Amud Aleph. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zeichan Ishmael Slibi Gabriela Bashmuel. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion. We are finishing up the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Yutesamud Beis transitioned into the Nezek of Shame, the damages done by an animal consuming. So when we talk about Shame, when we talk about Regal, these two avos, two main categories of nezek. So if it's done in Rishus Rabim, so the owner of the animal is going to be Potter. And if it's done Rishus Anizak in the property of the one who was damaged, so then he's going to be Chayv. Once you're Chayv, you have to pay Nezek Shalom, you have to pay full damages. And that's the basic idea behind Shein. What we learned together in the Mishnah is that the payment of Shein is only in a scenario in which the animal ate something which is normally consumed by the animal. Although the Gemara does admit that as long as it's something which is edible, meaning it may not be part of the regular diet of the animal, but as long as it's something which is edible and it'll provide the animal some basic nutrition, so then you'd be chai for that as well. Yesterday, after doing the Mishnah, we did the Gemara on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. We had discussions regarding what becomes of not just the food items, but let's say the non-food items that are necessary to facilitate the eating. So, for example, we talked yesterday about a goat jumping on top of a barrel. There was food on top of the barrel, and in the course of jumping on top of the barrel, breaks the barrel. Is that also part of the Shein damages? The Gemara yesterday said yes. Other circumstances we saw yesterday where some of the collateral damage that's done is not considered part of the Shein damages. Okay, so obviously what you have to do is you have to learn the Gemara well. You have to put the Gemaras together in order to realize when it is that you can bundle together all these damages under the category of Shein, and when do these damages get segregated. Well, let's continue where we left off yesterday. We talked about, the last thing I think we mentioned yesterday was Ilfa's halacha about an animal jumping on top of the back of of another animal. So the Gemara there mentioned this idea of kofetzes, where the animal is not just eating off of another animal, but jumping and eating off of the back of another animal. So the Gemara describes that as being unusual. And again, once we move from a situation of being a quote-unquote normal situation to an irregular situation, so that now shifts the entire picture of Nezek. Nezek is no longer under the category of Shein. That Nezek falls under the category of Karen, even though there's consumption involved. But once it becomes an irregular action, so then it's Karen, and two things happen. Number one, you pay Chatzi Nezek, not Nezek Shalem. Number two is that you will be obligated under any circumstance, including a Rishus HaRabim. Okay. By Rabbi Zeira. No, we did that. Okay. Achlaksus. Okay, we're now moving ahead in the Gemara, and we're describing now the consumption of clothing. Right? My animal goes in and consumes clothing. Now, obviously, clothing is something which is not food. And so, therefore, my animal consuming someone else's clothing is considered irregular. Consequently, I would have to pay for chatzi nezek. I have to pay for half damages. Now, Ahai, the Gemara says, now, when reading the Mishnah, specifically, what is it going on? I'm a Rav Akulam. Rav says it's going on everything. Meaning, now let's take a look back at the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah one more time. If you take a look back at the Mishnah, your testament bays. So The Mishnah starts off. Ketzad Hashem Moedes Lachol Sarayla Habehem Moedes Lachol Peres Virakos. Okay, an animal is used to eating fruit and vegetables. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Och Achla Ksus Okelim, if it ate either clothing or utensils, Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. Then you have to pay Chatzin Nezek. You have to pay half damages. Okay, now the Gemara says you have to pay half damages. What exactly is it talking about? So, Okay, fine. So the Gemara says like this. So Ahaya, Amar Rav Akula. So Rav says it's going in everything. Meaning, when the Mishnah then later goes on to say that if it's done in Rishus Rabim, you're going to be exempt, So, Rav is of the opinion that it's going on all the cases laid out in the Mishnah, including even Ksus V'Kelim. Now, this is very difficult to understand Rav's position. Meaning, certainly we understand that if you eat food in a Rishus Rabbim, you're going to be exempt. Because food falls under the category of Shein, and Shein is exempt in the Rishus Rabbim. So the Gemara says that, to that we totally understand. The problem that Rav's position leads us to is that when the Mishnah then goes on to say, but if it's on the street, there's going to be an exemption, Rav says an exemption for eating food and non-food items. Now the Gemara says, now that's very difficult to understand. Well, we'll get to the question in just a moment. So, I'm a Ravakulu. My Taimo. So, the Gemara says, so basically, what's the reason? Give us an understanding behind Rav. Why should it be that if my animal eats both food and non-food items in the Rishus Rabbim, I, the owner of the animal, going to be exempt? Why should I be exempt? The food items, that chain, fine. That exemption, I understand. The non-food items, that should be Karen. And therefore, I, the owner of the animal, should have to pay half damages. So the Gemara says, "Kol mishanu va'achar v'shinabo pater." So the Gemara says, because we're going to be introduced to a new rule. First time we've seen this rule in the Masechta, and that's the following. Let's say my animal does damage, but the did damage to an item where the owner of the item also did something that was unusual and was atypical. So, essentially what we're about to learn together right now is that if the aggrieved party, the damaged party, if he did something which was unusual and atypical, so then that will exempt me from having to pay for damages. I say this by analogy. I do not mean this because I'm this is not a conclusion. This is just a way to view it. Let's say I'm driving on the highway and someone in front of me stops short. And I go and I hit him and I hit him in the back. Now again, the insurance is all, and it's state by state, and I'm just simply saying this as a way to conceptualize and understand what we're saying. So now I'm the one who hit him. On the other hand, he stopped short on the highway. So in other words, once he does something which is unusual and atypical, so that will relieve me from having to pay for damages. That's the idea, that's the concept over here in the Gemara. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is that's the explanation behind Rav. Meaning, he left not only his food in the Rishus HaRabim, but he left his clothing in the Rishus HaRabim. Meaning that's strange. That was strange behavior on his part. Therefore, if my animal comes and consumes both his food and his clothing, even though we normally would put the consumption of clothing under the category of Karen, and normally I'd have to pay half damages. But because he behaved atypically and unusually, that will exempt me from having to pay.
Okay, two things.
Just because he puts it down. Okay, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Why isn't it considered a war?
Right. So it could vary. It could be. In other words, if someone were to slip on it and fall, so it may well, in fact, be considered a boar. But we're discussing a case where my animal ate whatever he put down over there. So he may be liable for any damages that are incurred by it, but it certainly, it still remains his. And it's what's up for consideration is I should pay for the damages when my animal eats the food. And now this idea that Rav is teaching us is that he behaved atypically, that exempts me. So the Gemara says, "Ushmul amar lo shana leperes v'irakos v'aksus v'kelem chayeves v'chein amar Reish Lakish akulu." I'm sorry, before the Reish Lakish line. And Shmuel disagrees. And Shmuel says, no. My exemption mentioned in the Mishnah is only when my animal eats food of other people in the Rishus HaRabim. But my exemption is not going to extend to clothing. Why? Again, because my animal eating someone else's clothing is unusual, it's irregular, it's Karen, and I, the owner of the animal, have to pay half damages. Now, V'chenem Reish Lakish Akulu. Now, Reish Lakish agrees with Rav. Reish Lakish says that once the damaged party acts irregularly, that exempts me, the one who is the owner of the animal who did the damage. And V'azav Reish Lakish Latame, Dam Reish Lakish Teparos, Rishus Rabim. Reish Lakish has another ruling. Two animals in the Rishus Rabim. Achas Revutsav, Achas Malachas. One animal squatting in a Rishus Rabim. Right? In my driving on the highway 95 comparison. Basically, someone stopped short. Now, mind you, by the way, my comparisons to the highway, I only say that as a way of thinking about it. It's not a fair comparison, because when you're talking about driving on the highway, those are people driving cars. So really, that kind of nezek is not your animals doing damage; it's you doing damages. So it's really not a fair comparison. I'm just saying it so that we can think about it in a certain way. But it's not really a fair comparison. So anyway, there are two animals in the Rishus HaRabim. One's basically squatting in the Rishus HaRabim. There needs to be free flowing traffic in the Rishus HaRabim. One animal decides it's a good time now to sit down, and the other animal is walking. So bata malachas berevutz the petura. If the animal who is walking gives a good solid kick to the animal who's squatting, the owner of the walking animal is going to be exempt. Why? For the reason that we just articulated. Because in the Rishus HaRabim, the squatting animal already is deviating from normal behavior. So when my animal does damage to a quote-unquote deviant animal, so I'm going to be exempt. This is the idea that we just said. Revutza b'malachetz chayeves. If the animal is squatting, even while squatting, is able to land a solid kick to the animal that's walking by, so the animal that's squatting, the owner of the animal that's squatting, is going to be obligated. Because the animal that's walking, he didn't deviate from normal behavior. What you're supposed to be doing in the Rishus HaRabim is you should be moving. And that's exactly what the animal was doing. And he got kicked by a squatting animal, so the owner of the squatting animal needs to pay for the damages. And now Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel that the only damages incurred that you're going to have to pay for is only for the fruit and the vegetables that are found in the Rishus HaRabim, meaning shame. But if your animal eats clothing in the Rishus HaRabim, so you're going to be obligated to pay. So Lema Rav Yochanan Leisle the Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, now, this machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara is basically asking, is this a fundamental debate? Meaning, does Rav Yochanan feel that Reish Lakish is wrong about the case of the two animals, one squatting and one walking? Does Rav Yochanan disagree with this basic idea that once the damaged party starts behaving in an unusual way, that should exempt the damaging party? Does Rav Yochanan disagree with that? And the Gemara says, not necessarily. Rav Yochanan lets the Reish Lakish, afilu b'shtei paros lo, la'olam islei. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yochanan does not disagree with Reish Lakish. He fundamentally agrees with him. However, ksus avde inshi demanche, glime, o mitavche, ava behema lav orcha. And the Gemara basically says the only debate over here between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is really limited. And that is, if I put my clothing down in the Rishus HaRabim, is that considered deviant behavior? Is that considered such atypical behavior that now, if somebody else comes along or somebody else animal comes along and starts eating my clothing that I put down in the Rishus HaRabim, so should he be exempted because I behaved atypically, I behaved irregularly? So that's the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. But principally, they both agree. Once the damaged party is behaving in an atypical fashion, so the damaging party is going to be exempt. And then the only debate is what is considered atypical behavior. Let's continue now in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. V'im Nenas Meshalemes. Okay. We are talking now about the owner of the animal that eats in the Rishus HaRabim. So as we've been learning now, and saying basically since the beginning of the Masechta, when my animal eats somebody else's food in the Rishus HaRabim, I don't have to pay for damages. Reason being, there is a Petur Shein in the Rishus HaRabim. I'm exempt from damages of my animal eating food in the Rishus HaRabim. However, as we've noted in the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to speak a little bit more in detail. My animal did eat, meaning I don't have to pay for the damages. I have a legitimate exemption. But my animal did eat, and that means now that when I go home tonight, I don't have to feed my animal dinner. So, I got benefit from somebody else's food. So therefore, I should go over to that person, not paying for damages, but at least paying for dinner, for my animal's dinner. So the Gemara now goes on to discuss, what is that payment going to look like? So, Vikama, exactly how much am I paying for the dinner that my animal enjoyed? Rab Arma Deme Amir. So Rava says the cost of hay, meaning basically when I'm taking my animal home for dinner tonight, remember, we're not talking about my dinner, we're talking about my animal's dinner, and whatever I can get away with feeding it, that's what I'm going to feed it. So hay, fine. In other words, the cheapest food imaginable. That is what I would have given my animal. So it happens to be that while we were walking home today in the Rishus HaRabim, my animal helped himself to delicacies. That's very good. As far as the owner of that food is concerned, I don't have to pay for damages. I do have to pay for sustaining my animal, I'll pay him the cost of hay. The comparable cost of hay, because that's what I would have given him at home. Rava Amar Demesa Oren Bezol. Rava says, well, not hay, but you're going to have to pay for barley, but discounted barley. Meaning, again, we're talking about food for my animal. I would have waited for the price to have gone down. So basically, barley at its cheapest. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasa de Rava, Tanya Kavasa de Rava. So in these two opinions of what is the cost of hana that I'm going to have to pay the owner of the food, so we have a debate between the Amoraim. The Gemara points out, it's a machlokas Tanaim as well. We have a brisa supporting each position. Tanya Kavasa de Rava, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Amar Shalem Esal Demei Amir. According to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, my animal eats somebody else's food in the Rishus HaRabim, I don't have to pay nezek. I do have to pay for sustenance. And all I need to pay is the value of straw. Demei Amir Bavad. Tanya Kavazi the Rava, we have a bracelet supporting Rava Inenes, Mishlamas Mashinenes. If I get benefit, I have to pay for that which I benefit. Keitarachla Kavo Kabaim, Einorim Tishalem Demeham. If my animal ate either one kav measure or two kav measures of barley, I don't have to pay barley at a premium, retail. Ella umdim kamadarosalachulabemto davar harayilo afapisha in a ragil. Basically, any food that an animal could use to sustain himself, if the animal ate something that which was not beneficial to it, so then you're going to be exempt. Okay. Period. Okay, and parenthetically, how much is discounted barley? I mean, the Gemara doesn't say. Rashi does say. Rashi says discounted barley is going to be 2/3 of its original price. Meaning barley normally sells at whatever. Let's say a dollar. I don't know, $1 per ounce, whatever. So basically, 66 cents on the dollar is how much you're going to have to pay the owner of the food. I mean, it's not so much an appraisal of property. What it is basically I have to pay for sustaining my animal, but what I would have used to sustain my animal versus what my own animal actually ate, obviously is not the same. And it doesn't have to be the same. All I need to do is just simply make restitution on what I would have used or could have used to sustain my animal. Okay. Period. Adkan. Okay. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting at the beginning of the line. Amar Lei Rav Chista Lerami Bar Chama. And this Gemara that we're about to start right now is going to go into today's daf. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph. And hopefully we're going to start and finish the sugya. And this is one of the more enjoyable sugyas that we're going to be covering in the Baba Kama. What is it doing right now here? I mean, I didn't tell you what we're learning yet. But what is it doing right now here? So we're going to use our Mishnah as one of the proofs. And the Gemara does this very often, where as long as our Mishnayos could serve as a proof for a discussion, so the Gemara will take the discussion and insert it here, even though this is really not the place, the primary place to have this discussion. The discussion we're about to have in the Gemara is Zenen v'zelo chaser. I benefit and you're not losing. You're not financially losing. So, in a situation where I stand to benefit and you're not losing, do I have to pay you for that benefit? Where it represents to you no financial loss. This is what's called Zenen of Ezelo Chaser. The classic example, which the Gemara is about to discuss inside, is going to be where basically I'm living in somebody's house and he doesn't rent it out and he doesn't know about it. And do I have to pay him for the rent when it's a house that's not normally rented? Now, I benefited clearly by living in the house. He did not lose. Do I have to pay him the rent? So this is the discussion of Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Let's start the discussion inside. Amle Rav Chista Amei Bar Chama. So, discussion that takes place over here between Amorayim, Rav Chista, and Rami Bar Chama. Lo havis gaban ba'orta. So Rav Chista says to Rami Bar Chama, it's a shame you weren't in the Beis Medrash last night. You missed such a wonderful discussion. So the Gemara says, betchuma. And Rashi over here gives a couple of explanations, but basically, for simplicity's sake, you were too far away, and you weren't in the Beis Medrash last night. And I'm not faulting you for not being in the Beis Medrash, but you really missed out on a great discussion. The Ibailan, the Gemara says, we have the following question that was asked in the Beis Medrash. Mili Mal Yasa. They were great, great things. Amar my Mili Mal Yasa. Okay, so Rav Chisda says, I'm sorry, Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Chisda, okay, that's enough hype. You want to tell me what you discussed? So Amar Lei Hadar Bechatz Chaver Shalom Midato. Tarech La'alo So Schar O Ein Sarech. If I'm living in somebody else's house, do I have to pay him rent or do I not have to pay him rent? Now, let's sharpen the question. Hey, chidami. Exactly, what are the parameters of this question? If we're talking about a house that is not normally rented. Okay, so a residential home. So it is not normally rented. And vigavra dolo avid lameger. Now, the person living now in the house, squatting in this house, doesn't need to rent it out. What does that mean, he doesn't need to rent it out? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi go over here, details. Rashi says it's four lines before the end of the Rashis. Dolo avid lameger zeh shedar ba'osa chatzer. Eino asu l'schor chatzeros lefi shemetsuyin lo batim lehashil o yesh lo bayis acher. The person currently living in the house right now has got plenty of other opportunities. Rashi says he may even have his own home somewhere within proximity. So the truth of the matter is that the person owning the house, he didn't lose because he doesn't normally rent out his house. And the person squatting in the house, he didn't really need the house because he had other options. So this, the Gemara is going to put under the category of Zeh Lo Nehneh. This one, meaning the homeowner, did not get benefit. And, sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. The one who was squatting in the house did not benefit. Now, obviously, being inside the house in of itself is a benefit. But when the Gemara says Zeh Lo Nehneh, it means on the larger sense of he could have easily have lived somewhere else. So Zeh Lo Nehneh, so this one who was currently squatting in the house did not benefit. And Zeh Lo Chaser. And the owner of the house didn't lose out because he doesn't normally rent out his house. So the Gemara says on this, well, there's not even a discussion. So So the Gemara says, so here in this equation, the one who was squatting didn't get benefit. Again, in the global sense of he could have easily lived somewhere else. And the owner of the home, who doesn't normally rent it out, he didn't lose out. So this one didn't get benefit. This one didn't lose out. So the Gemara says, obviously, there's nothing to talk about. There's no financial obligation to talk about. So the Gemara says, well, let's say that the home over here is not a residential home. Let's say it's a commercial home. It's a bed and breakfast. It's a hotel. And so obviously he's standing to rent it out to other people. The person who was now living in the house needed a place to stay. He had no other options. So now this falls under the category of Zenene Vizechaser. So the Gemara says Zenene Vizechaser. And there, again, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but let's spell it out. Obviously, there's a financial obligation because I benefited because I needed a place to stay, and you would have lost out because you normally rent out this place. So if I wasn't there, somebody else would have rented it out. So this falls under the category of Zenene Vizechaser. And clearly there's a financial obligation. So those are the two extremes, and the Gemara says, and both extremes, obviously, Zelo Nene, Zelo Chaser, no financial obligation. Zenene Vizechaser, absolutely a financial obligation. Gemara says, I'll tell you what we are going to now have a discussion about. Let's talk about a home that is not normally rented out, meaning it's a residential home. Vigavra de Avid Lamegar. But the person who decides to squat in the house right now is in need of a place to stay. And so therefore, thank you very much. I'll stay here for the night. So Matzi Amrlei Mai Chasartech. So the Gemara says, so let's now go over both options. The person who currently is squatting in the home says, look, to the homeowner, look, I understand I lived in your house, and I understand that you don't normally rent it out. And you weren't here. So did you really suffer financial loss? The answer, of course, is no. You didn't suffer financial loss. You don't normally rent out the house. And the house was unoccupied. Oh, Dilma Matzi Amar. On the other hand, the homeowner could say to the squatter, wait 1 second. Ha itanet. Had you not been in my house, you would have needed to rent out. You would have needed to go to a hotel. And so therefore, you got a direct benefit. And so a real financial benefit, a real savings by staying in my house. So this is this now falls under the category of zelonene. Sorry, I keep doing that. Zenene v'zelo chaser. And so the Gemara says, under these circumstances, what would be the halacha? Would the person who's squatting in the house, would he be required to pay?
Is he saying you owe me because you would have paid somewhere else?
Yes.
Or because you benefited?
Well, no, in other words, it is different, but the Gemara is basically saying it's a benefit with a real financial price tag. We can attach a real, we can monetize that benefit.
This wasn't the only free manger in town.
It sounds like from the Gemara that outside of this, he had no other options other than to pay. I don't want to make it that that black and white, but just in other words, you can monetize the benefit that he received. Okay, and once you could do that, so now this falls under the category of zenene v'zelo chaser. So, do you have to pay for that, yes or no? This was the discussion that took place in the previous night in the Beis Medrash. Rav Chissa says to Rami Bar Chama, it's really a shame you weren't there last night. You would have loved the discussion. And as long as we're discussing it right now, do you have a contribution to this discussion? Amalei, we're on the very top of Chaf Amud Beis. Amalei Masnis and He. So Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Chista, I know the answer. Really, it's a Mishnah. Meaning, it's one of the Mishnayos in Shas. There's only a couple thousand of them. It's not a big deal. It's one of the Mishnayos in Shas. But I'll tell you what. Hi, Masnisin. So if Chissa says to Rami Bar Chama, you want to tell me which mission it is? So Amalei lechitishamishli. So Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Chista, I'll tell you, but first you have to serve me, and after you serve me, then I'll tell you which mission it is. And I heard quoted I've heard this in the name of Shimon Shkup. He said he explains why the Gemara over here. What an unusual request. Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Chista, first you'll serve me, and then I'll give you the answer. And he says, because basically what he wanted to do is create a relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud. Meaning without, it's a very powerful idea. Meaning without a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, so a Rebbe will say something and the Talmud will just kind of write it off. Like, okay. So you have to create a relationship. Unlike today, I'm not trying to be controversial, but unlike today, in the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, usually the Rebbe is the one serving the Talmud in order to create the relationship. Back in the good old days, okay, I know it's self-serving. But back in the good old days, in order to create a Rebbe Talmud relationship, the Talmud serves the Rebbe. And basically, what Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Chista is, when you serve me and then become my Talmud, so now you'll trust the things that I say, because now we have that kind of Rebbe Talmud relationship. And then I'll say something, and then you'll be like, oh, I have to think about it. My Rebbe told me. So the Gemara says, so Amalei lechitish amishli. So shakal sudre karachle. So basically, Rav Chista folded Rami Bar Chama's talis. Okay, it's perhaps not the best way to explain it, but for our purposes, that'll work. Amalei. So now Rami Bar Chama is going to give Rav Chista the answer. Which Mishnah in Shas is it that teaches us about what the principle is of zenene v'zelo chaser? One person benefited, the other party didn't actually lose out. So he says, it's our Mishnah. Now, you knew that was going to be the answer, because the Gemara took the entire discussion and put it right over here. So our contextual clue is going to tell us which Mishnah it is, but I've said this before. Had you had the discussion outside of today's daf and yesterday's daf, and then you would have asked, well, which Mishnah is it? That obviously becomes much harder, because then you have to know Mishnayos. Okay, so Amalei imnenes mishalemes mashinenes. Consider, the animal is walking through the Rishus HaRabim. The animal sees food on the floor. The animal eats the food on the floor. Now, it's not nezek because, again, it's shein b'Rishus HaRabim. However, the Mishnah says the owner of the animal has to pay for dinner. So, you see that you have to pay for hana'ah. Now, if you're thinking at this point in time, what kind of proof is this to our discussion? So, it's not a terrible thought. Because let me say the question out. What kind of proof is this to our discussion? Meaning, in the case of the Mishnah, the person who owned the food, he really lost. Meaning, we're trying to discover zenene v'zel lo chaser. In the Mishnah's case, zenene, the owner of the animal benefited, because his animal now had dinner. And as far as the owner of the food is concerned, ze chaser. That person actually lost out. So when you think about it, Rami Bar Chama's use of our Mishnah to conclude on this issue seems a little bit strange. Okay, I mean, yes, but I'm not sure if that's... Okay, it's fair, but... So, Amar Rava... Okay, there is an issue of trespassing, right? That which the Gemara doesn't, for reasons I don't fully understand, the Gemara doesn't consider. Okay, but which is a good point. Amar Rava kamalo chalev la margish gavra demarya siaya. So Rava says, I love Rami Bar Chama. He doesn't get sick. No one challenges him. Meaning he has what siyata d'shmaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him kind of grace where when Rami Bar Chama says something, people just kind of listen to him, and like the man never has to worry. Meaning, this is Rava's basically his backhanded way of saying, I don't understand how Rami Bar Chama gets away with saying the things that he says. Meaning, he's using our Mishnah to help us understand the issue of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, the Afagav, the Lo Damila Masisin, Kablamine. He quotes a Mishnah that has nothing to, not nothing, but is not perfectly analogous. That's a better way to say it. It's not perfectly analogous to our discussion. And meanwhile, people are looking at Rami Bar Chama, nodding their head, saying, "Wow, that was good. that was really good." The e zenen of zeh chaser, the high zenen of zeh lo chaser. For the reason that we just articulated. In the question of, I'm living on someone else's property, it is not a rental property, but no one else is in it right now, and it's not being used, and I'm benefiting because I need a place to stay. So that's Zenene, but Zelo Chaser. The owner of the home right now would not have rented out the house. The house is empty, so that's the case of Zenene of Zelo Chaser. In the case of our Mishnah, my animal ate someone else's food, I don't have to pay for damages because the chamber is just a robin. But he did lose out, and so therefore I have to pay him for that which my animal benefited from. But that is a benefit, and somebody else actually lost out. That's zenen v'zechaser. So how can our Mishnah serve as a case study for the issue which we're discussing?
Because that food is expected to be eaten.
That's exactly what the Gemara is going to say. Rami Bar Chama, excellent, Danny. Rami Bar Chama, stam peres b'rishus harabim afkuri mafkalahu. So the Gemara says, now in defense of Rami Bar Chama, he feels that the Mishnah is good. Because when you leave out food in the rishus harabim, imagine, you left out food in the public, and then you went home, and now you're thinking to yourself, oh, forget it. I'm going to go back there and I'm going to look for my food and it's not going to be there. And so therefore there's a certain sense of expectation of it's going to be lost. So Rami Bar Chama says that our Mishnah is a good case study of Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Okay, Tanan. And so here what we're going to do now for the rest of today is... Wow, that was fast. Here what we're going to do for the rest of today is we're going to go through a couple of other places in Mishnayos throughout Shas and try to arrive at a conclusion of what would be the halacha where one person is benefiting but the other person is not losing out. And is there going to be a financial obligation from the one who benefited? Do you, if I may, the question really becomes, do I have to pay for benefit when we can monetize the benefit, but at the same time, the other person is not going to lose out if I don't benefit? The Gemara says as follows. Tanan, this is one of the first Mishnayos in Baba Basra. Hamakiv chaver mishlosh ruchoseha. V'gadar asarishona esashniya v'esashlishis. Ein mechayven oso. Let's say I nearly have another person landlocked. Nearly. I have property surrounding his property on three sides. Okay, so it's not perfectly landlocked, but I surround this property on three sides. Now, like any good homeowner, the best neighbors, fences create the best neighbors. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put up a fence. Both on, I'm talking now not about the interior landowner, I'm talking about me, who I have three of his properties surrounded. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to build fences around both the exterior of my property and the interior of my property. Now, when I build fences on the interior of my property, so really those fences serve as twofold. Number one, they're good for me. Number two, they're good for the person living on the interior of my property. So now, and because I have properties surrounding three of his sides, so now imagine, now I'm basically building him fences along three of his along three sides of his property. So now, can I go to him? It's a little bit chutzpah, Dick, but can I go to him and basically say, look, here's how much the fences cost, here's how much the expenses cost, so here's the bill for half of it. Okay, you're good with that? So the Mishnah Baba Basra says, I cannot bill him. I cannot. Ain mechayiv noso. Now, how revi is mechayiv noso? Now, what if I have them perfectly landlocked? Now, the Mishnah Baba Basra doesn't discuss this. This is now, seems to be the next step of that Mishnah Baba Basra. What if I have them totally landlocked and, obviously, he's going to need an egress in order to get out of his property, obviously. But the issue over here is the issue of the fencing. I've now built a fence around all four of his properties. It sounds like from the Mishnah, I have the right to now give him a bill and say, here's now a bill for half the fences. And it sounds like Ha-Revi is Mechayiv and Oso. Now, because basically I fenced around all four of his properties, so now it's fair for me to give him a bill for half of those, half of the cost and all the expenses. Sorry.
What is the difference
between three
and four?
Huh? Because by three, he cannot make the argument of this really benefits me. Because even though it does to a certain degree, and it's hard to deny that, but it's not like you build fencing around all of his property. Once you build fencing around all of his property, he can't say, oh, I didn't want that. Of course he would want that. So, let the Gemara develop the idea. So, Shmamina, Zenen of Zelo Chaser. So, Chayiv. So the Gemara says, now this is a case of Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Let's consider. From the person living on the interior property, he absolutely benefited. He now has fence around all four sides of his property. And he didn't have to lift a finger or pay a penny for that fencing. So he for sure got benefit. Now, the guy on the outside, he didn't lose. Now, why didn't he lose? Because he would have... Just wait 1 second. It's because he would have had to have made the fencing anyway. In other words, it's his property, and he would have put a fence around his property. So it's Zenana, the guy living on the inside, did not get benefit. Sorry. Did get benefit, and Zelo Chasan, the guy on the outside, would have put out this would have had to build the fence anyway. So this is the Gemara says.
If the guy wasn't there, you wouldn't have to. If the guy wasn't in the middle, you wouldn't have to.
The Gemara's assumption is that everyone's going to want fencing around the property. That's the Gemara's assumption.
It doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah, the Gemara's assuming that. So the
half
the cost. In other words, split the cost.
Only if the foresight doesn't benefit the guy.
In other words, in the event, meaning you're right. The Mishnah is talking about a case where it was only surrounded on three sides. The Gemara is just simply taking the Mishnah now to the next step, which would seem to indicate that if there was a fourth side, so then...
And the fourth side was like in the center of the other guy.
Landlocked, totally landlocked. So then he would have to, he would be allowed to charge the guy inside, because the guy inside is absolutely benefiting from now me building fence around all four sides of his property. So the Gemara says, then Zenenev Zelo Chaser. Chayev, so the Gemara says, so now it sounds like from that Mishnah, I can charge him for the fence that I built him, even though I didn't lose, because I would have to build it anyway.
Can he decline?
Again, let's assume, right? Let's assume that he needs it and he wants it. Okay, just both people. Yeah, both. Let's assume again, just to. For the purposes of our understanding the Gemara, let's assume that both parties want the fence, need it, and want it.
So if the guy's the one, the office should go for doing the fourth, so it would get half.
Correct. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, Damalei, Ad Garam Tali, Hekefa Yaseira. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, look, the outside person, meaning in the case where he does have four properties surrounding the guy in the middle, so the outside party could say to the interior party, look, in this case, maybe generally speaking, Zenenev Zelo Chaser, I cannot charge. I can't charge you for just benefit. But over here, let's think about this. Had it not been for your pesky little property, in the middle of my four surrounding properties, I would have only had to have made one perimeter of fencing. But now because of you, I have to make two perimeters of fencing. So to say Zenene Vizel Lo Chaser, that's not genuine. Because without you, I only would have made one perimeter of fencing. Now I need two perimeters of fencing. So basically, this is not a good case study. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Okay, Gemara says, let's continue. I'm Rav Yossi, Im Ahmad, Nikaf, Vigadar, Eser, Aviz, Magagan, Ezekol. Now, let's go back to our case where there were three properties surrounding the interior property. So I don't have them landlocked. I'm only surrounding them on three sides. And I built the fence, again, for me and for him, on three of the sides. Now, I can't charge him as of yet. But let's say now I see the guy building a fourth wall. So clearly now the guy is very happy with the three fences that I surrounded him with. In fact, not only is he very happy, but he's making use of those three fences, and he's building now a fourth wall. It's like when I finally figured out, when I built my sukkah, like I have fences. All I need to do is just build the third wall. So obviously, I mean, I like the fences to begin with. But over here, once you see the interior guy now building a fourth wall, so now the guy living on the outside who had already built the three walls can now say, oh, really? Thank God I saved my receipts. So now he will take the receipts for the first three walls and he'll hand it to the guy and he'll say, okay, look, just take the number, divide it by half. Also, there was labor as well. We'll throw that in, and you're going to pay for half of the three because clearly you liked it. So, taima digadonikav hamakiv pater. So the Gemara says the reason why is because the one who was on the interior made a fence, but hamakiv pater shmamina zenevez nevezol chaser pater. So the Gemara says, so you see over here zenevezol chaser is pater. So the Gemara says shani hausam damar lele didisagle benatira barzuze. So the Gemara says once again here's where this is not going to be a good case study, because the guy on the interior, had he not built a fourth wall, and even if he did to a certain degree build a fourth wall, can say to the guy in the exterior, look, if you were left up to me and I would have built the wall, I would not have gone the kind of fancy fencing that you got. So in other words, this is not going to be a good case of Zen Enev Zalach Chaser, because what they can argue about, I know it's funny because it's true, what they can argue about now is basically you would have put it at this expense, but I would have put it at this expense. So now that's the argument there between both parties. That's why it's not a good case study of Zen Enev Zalach Chaser. Yeah, seemingly that's correct. Right, the Gemara doesn't make that point, but yes. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's consider the following. Okay, now we're going to move on to another case where there are going to be one house.
This is similar to eating the hay as opposed to food on the market by the animal.
Okay, agreed. We're now going to move to a case where basically it's a house, two stories. One person owns the bottom floor, a person owns the second floor. Okay, now, in high-rise buildings, I know it's one person owns the entire property and just rents it out to others. But in the course of this discussion, let's assume that that there's a total ownership on floor number one and a total ownership on floor number two. Now, for floor number two, it's going to be very hard for him to own his second floor if there is no first floor. So consider now the following. Tashma. Habayis va'aliyah shel shnayim. So two floors, each one owned by a different person, and shenaflu. And the house fell down. So Amar bal ha'aliyah la'bal habayis livnos. So now the second floor says to the first floor. Second floor owner says to the first floor owner, I want to rebuild my second floor. But here's a small problem. It's that called gravity. I need you. I need you to build that first floor so that I can now go ahead and build my second floor. Vuhu in a road, and the first floor owner's like, you know what? The house fell down. I consider it a bad omen. It's a bad sign. I'm not rebuilding my first floor. Second floor owner says to the first floor owner, really? So now, So now, second floor owner says, you know what? I want my second floor house. I need my penthouse. So what he can do is he can build the entire thing, first floor and second floor, and he can live in the first floor. He doesn't have to pay for any rent. Ach yitin lo yitziaso. Until the first floor owner decides, you know what? Okay. I'll come and I'll pay for all the expenses of all expenditures of the first floor. Now, Now, when in fact, let's say after having rebuilt, meaning the second floor owner, after having rebuilt both floor number one and floor number two, let's say a year goes by before the first floor owner finally decides, you know what, that's nice, I like what you did. Okay, I'll pay for all the expenditure of the first floor. So now he can, quote unquote, reacquire. It's not really reacquiring. It's his. The property was his, but he can now assume the living of the first floor. Now, what seems from this Mishnah is that even though years gone by, and even though the second floor person has been living in the first floor for all that time, he doesn't have to pay for any rent over the course of that time. Shma mina, so the Gemara says, can we not conclude from here, zenena v'zelo chaser pater? So here, once again, let's consider. The second floor owner, who's been living in the first floor, so he certainly got benefit. The first floor owner, he didn't lose, because until the time when he paid for all the expenditure, nothing came out of his pocket. So he didn't lose. So this is a case of zenena v'zelo chaser. And yet we find that the second floor owner doesn't have to pay for any rent from the time that he built to the time where the first floor owner decides to pay up all the expenditure.
The first floor, that's not owes some money for this, the second floor, the first floor tenant. The building was down, the second floor didn't have any place to go. He has to go somewhere else.
I don't know about that. In other words, the house fell. In other words, I don't know, to assign blame for the house falling, I'm not. Okay. So anyway, so Shani Hasam, so the Gemara says, the Besa de Aliyah Mishtabed. So the Gemara says, it's not a good case study. Because there's a certain shibud. There's a certain obligation that the first floor owner has to the second floor. Meaning when the second floor owner says to the first floor, look, I want to rebuild, but here's my problem, I can't do it without you. The second floor owner is right. Meaning he really cannot do it without the first floor owner. So the fact that the first floor owner now was belligerent and he didn't want to do it, and now the second floor owner had to put up all the expenses in order to build first floor and second floor, so it's not really fair to put this under the category of Zenev Zelo Chaser, because the truth of the matter is the first floor owner really had an obligation. Now, I don't know how to call it, meaning it's more than a moral obligation. He had a real obligation to the second floor, where second floor owner's right. The first floor owner needed to rebuild his portion in order so that the second floor owner can rebuild the second floor. Okay, so therefore the Gemara says that I wouldn't put this under the category of zenene vizelo chaser. So Tashma, the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar, av ze hadar, so the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when somebody lives in the courtyard of his friend without his permission, he has to pay him. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasa Mishum Shachrusi de Ashyasa. So the Gemara says, now according to Rav Yehuda, when the second floor owner lives in the bottom floor all this time, so he says he has to pay him rent. So the Gemara says, so now, at least from the opinion of Rav Yehuda, don't you see over here that when one person benefits and the other person doesn't lose out, you have to pay for that benefit? And the Gemara's answer is not necessarily. This is a new home. And if I may, just to give us a way of understanding, you know how when you drive the car off the lot, so from the moment that the car leaves the lot, the car goes down in value, right? We're all familiar. So the Gemara says, this is the same thing is true with a new home. The moment you step foot in a new home, that's it. The price goes down. And the Gemara doesn't use that terminology. The Gemara says, Shechirusa de Ashyasa, literally translated as the blackening of the wall. Normal wear and tear. So the Gemara is saying that this is not Zenene Vizel Lo Chaser, in that when the person lives in a brand new home and is occupying the first floor, there is a real loss being suffered by the first floor owner. Now again, the first floor owner is not the greatest of people. He was refusing to build. But here is a real loss that he's suffering. So therefore, that's why Rav Yehuda says that the second floor owner does have to pay for rent from the first floor owner. Let's continue. Otherwise, we're going to fall too far behind. Shachu be Rav Ami, Amar v'chima asalo machasro mahiziko. They sent the question to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, I don't understand. There was no loss. There was no damage. Meaning, in a classic case of, we're going back to the original question, and the original case, where I'm living in someone's residential home. He wasn't renting it out. I needed a place to stay. I clearly benefited by living in his house, but he didn't lose by me living in his house. So in the classic case of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, so Rabbi Ami's response is, I don't understand. Did he damage the home? Did he cause the guy any kind of real loss? The answer to all those questions are no. And so therefore, consequently, I feel, says Rabbi Ami, no need to pay. So, I'm sorry, my Zico. So he didn't do any damage. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Nisyashi Badavar. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says Nisyashi Badavar. We have to look into this. They sent correspondence to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, basically shas for tshuvos. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, could you please stop asking me the question? Meaning you've been asking me the question repeatedly, and every single time I say, I don't know. When I get an answer, I'll tell you. So shachule va'azle. Ilu ashkeche bitama lo shachanu lehu. And when I figure out a reason, I'll send you back an answer. Meaning, I really don't know. I don't know the answer. Itmar Rav Kana Rav Yochanan Etzarach Lalos Oschar. The Gemara quotes the name Rav Yochanan. Rav Kahana quotes the name Rav Yochanan. You don't have to pay. Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Etzarach Lalos Oschar. Rabbi Abba quotes Rav Yochanan saying you do have to pay. Amar Papa Had Rabbi Abba Lav Beferish Itmar Ela Bechlala Itmar. And then Rav Papa says, look, this statement to Rabbi Abahu wasn't said explicitly, but it was said implicitly. Okay, when we continue tomorrow, we're going to continue this discussion. So let's just quickly recap where we're at. First of all, we finished the Gemara's discussion regarding Shein Birushos HaRabim. We didn't finish it, actually. There's more coming up. But the basic idea that when my animal eats in the Birushos HaRabim, I don't have to pay because there's an exemption from consumption, my animal consuming in the Birushos HaRabim. I do have to make restitution for the fact that I saved on dinner. How much of that restitution is a machlokas amarayim, whether it's just simply straw, or it's discounted barley, but I have to make some sort of restitution. Then the Gemara launched into the discussion, which was the remainder of yesterday's daf, continues into today's daf, even though we haven't started today's daf. And that is the question of zenena v'zelo chaser. What happens when I benefit from somebody? And we can put a monetary value on that benefit that I received, but for him it created no loss. The classic example which the Gemara is discussing is that if I live in a residential home that is unoccupied, and I need a place to stay. So I need a place to stay, so I would have rented, but I decided, hey, look, that house is unoccupied. I'm going to live in that house. And so therefore, zenene, zelo chaser. So is the halacha that I need to pay or do I not need to pay? So where we just left ourselves off after having gone through various mishnayos that discuss this issue is that we just quoted Rav Yochanan saying you do and you don't have to pay. Meaning one Amara quoted Rav Yochanan one way, another Amara quoted Rav Yochanan another way. The discussion will continue tomorrow morning.